Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hey everybody, this is Michael Amott.
This is Angela from Arch Enemy.
And you are watching and listening to Talking Metal.
Yeah!
Hey, what's up, folks? This is Nurgle from Behemoth speaking. Yeah, you're listening to Talking Metal. Stay evil, stay metal. See you in the fall. Cheers.
The best hard rock, the best heavy metal. Talking Metal, a podcast hosted by Mark Striegel and John Astronomy. Available through iTunes and most other podcast providers. Feel the power, feel the glory. TalkingMetal.com.
Welcome to Talking Metal. Astronomy here at Circus Bar, listening to some music that Mark just played.
Yeah, we got a little AC/DC on the jukebox right now. We got a little Money, which I just threw your way, courtesy of Jason Jayhawk. Jayhawk, thank you so much. We got to meet up with you, man. You're right in New York City. Why haven't we hung with you yet?
Jayhawk, thank you very much, man. It's insane that right now I'm looking at some cash that I'm going to use for some drinks here at Circus, courtesy of Jayhawk. Thank you. We owe you. We definitely got to hang out, man.
Absolutely. Here's a big toast to Jayhawk.
All right, man. Very cool. Thank you, Jayhawk.
I'm drinking a little Pabst Blue Ribbon here at the Circus Bar on 9th Avenue. 44th, 43rd is where we're between. And we are hanging out. Little AC/DC on the jukebox. We were here last night hanging with Mr. Surge from System.
Yeah, Surge was amazing, man. We had a couple of beers. We hung out and did some cool stuff here, which we'll tell you all about on a future podcast.
Surge has got a brand new record that is about to drop. It's called Lek the Dead. There's already a couple songs from it up on iTunes, and I am legitimately digging the two songs that are up on iTunes. Unthinking Majority is one of those songs, and the other song, let me check my iPod.
Empty Walls.
Yeah, Empty Walls, right.
And then there's another song on his MySpace page, too, so definitely check that out. And just Surge was such a cool dude. We had some beers. We went outside. We came back in. We had a fun time at the Circus Bar last night.
Yeah, we talked some metal, talked some Iron Maiden with Surge. He was telling us what a big influence Maiden was on System of a Down. So just good to talk some metal with a fellow metal fan.
Absolutely. We got a killer show for you guys tonight, and we're going to kind of really give you guys a lot of stuff because we know we've been a little slow in getting these podcasts up the last couple of weeks, and we're going to give you Behemoth and Arch Enemy today.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Long overdue. It's about time we got these interviews posted for you guys. We just want to remind you that we do have a MySpace page. It's Talking Metal. No, it's MySpace.com/Talking Metal. Check out the show notes. We should have some links up there where you can buy tracks that you hear in today's episode. The show notes are available at TalkingMetal.com or StriegelsMusicNews.com. Join the forums at TalkingMetalForum.com. Forums.com. All spoken word and dialogue are copyright 2007 by Talking Metal. All the interviews, copyright 2007 by Talking Metal.
Any random sounds that aren't copyrighted music are copyright Talking Metal.
Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, I'm drinking some beer, as we said. You know, Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, it always reminded me, and I don't know why, of Iron City beer. And unless you're from Pittsburgh, you may or may not know Iron City beer. Did you ever hear of that, Mark?
You know, I think I've heard you mention it before, but I don't know that beer, no.
I think the only reason Pabst reminds me of it is that, I guess back when I was a kid, my family and our friends either had a lot of Iron City and a lot of Pabst, and I just used to recognize those cans all the time. So for some reason, I always associate both beers together. But it's cool. I like it. Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
That's what I'm drinking, man. That's what I'm drinking. Let's come back. I want to talk about Z-Man. But let's hear from our good friends Angela and Michael from Arch Enemy. Check it out.
Hey, it's John with Talking Metal. I'm here at the Nokia Theater with Mark, Angela, and Michael from Arch Enemy. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
You guys have a great new album out. We just got this. It's called Rise of the Tyrant. And let me tell you, the second that I put on the album and Blood on Your Hands came on, I just was so psyched to hear new music from you guys, and it kicks ass.
Yeah, that's right.
I wanted to ask you, in the song Rise of the Tyrant, you have that intro. Is that like a TV show? It reminded me of like Iron Maiden, like The Prisoner or something, where there's something playing before. Where's that from?
It's from a film from late 70s, early 80s called Caligula. It's Malcolm McDowell, the actor, speaking there. It's in the role of Caligula, you know, the Roman emperor. So, yeah, it's just something that was we thought fitted the atmosphere of that song. And, it's kind of like a prisoner, right?
That's what it reminded me of, totally. So what happened down in Texas? The bus got pulled over, searched?
Yeah, but they didn't get us, obviously, because we're this clean band. At least when it comes to drugs. No
drugs on our bus, so yeah. Everything.
They were very, very disappointed, I think. Because that kind of the whole police force they had there at the border was like standing in our bus, and they were pretty, I think they were pretty convinced they would find a whole bunch of stuff. I guess that's kind of what a lot of normal people think, a rock band, okay, they're going to have a lot of shit there, right? And, they were just like, so you guys don't smoke any weed at all? What kind of rock and roll band are you? And I'm like, well, we drink. Isn't that rock and roll? No, they didn't get us. It's pretty good.
Very good. And Christopher is back. How's it to have your brother back in the band?
Yeah, it feels great. You know, feels quite natural. You know, it's nothing. We enjoyed playing. We know Frederick, who was his replacement for 18 months. That was cool too. But having my brother out here is great. You know, and you know, he was obviously in the band when we started the band. So just feels quite natural. Feels good. Doesn't feel weird or anything.
Cool. And he sorted out whatever he sorted out, and it's time away.
I think so, yeah. I think he just gained some perspective, you know, being away from the band, being away from this kind of lifestyle, and tried a few different things that he wanted to try out, and now he's, 100% focused on, playing guitar in Arch Enemy. So everything's good.
Very good.
Now, back to the health kick. Angela, I heard that you're bringing some exercise gear out on the road. Is that true?
No. I just bring my own body weight, which is not so much at the moment. But machine. Yeah, I have my yoga mat because I think, when you play live a lot every night, that's kind of an extreme workout what I do on stage. So I try to balance it out. It's a lot of aggression. It does certain things in your body. It kind of, the energy levels are more on the extreme side. So what I try to do after the show and before the show is I do a lot of yoga exercises, which everybody who's ever done yoga knows that this is not soft stuff. It's like seriously work with your own body weight, it's really tough on the muscles as well because you do all this slow stuff and you just have got probably you're just on your hands and all that. So it really exercises the body as well, but in a more calming way. But Machina, they got the whole, I'm not going to allow to say any names now, but they got like all these weights with them and they're just really pumping. I think that's kind of a guy thing to do though, because for me it would be too much to pump weights before the show, then do this full-on aggression during the show. I notice that I get out of balance. I need something that kind of really gets my body back into like a more calmer state. But I want to keep on like working with my body, because it's not good to just stop that, because we're going to be on the road for 3.5 months, and I kind of start missing that. So, but it's more yoga and Pilates, you know, this kind of stuff what I do.
Now, you mentioned to me that you got a cold, and I know that you said that when you were on planes, you were, like, taking, like, a ton of medication just to try to ward off all the other people with germs on planes. And now, how did you end up with a cold?
It's just the problem. It's not only us. There's a couple of people sick on the machine head bus, and you obviously, every night you talk to fans, and they are sick, so it's, not all of them, but some, you know, when I'm home, I never get sick because I don't really interact so much with people. I think for me, it happens as soon as I get into all, like, lots of sweaty shows. We had a couple of shows where we did extreme air conditioning as well, so I sweat a lot. I'm in a cold jet stream of air. I get out, I talk
like
to people.
You're on a bus, when you're on a tour bus, yeah. you know, a guitar tech sick.
Yeah, everybody.
A bass player sick. So a few sick people on the bus.
And it's just like it's one air conditioning circling around all this the satanic stuff. I got it now. I just hope I hope that's it. Because, I mean, obviously the body gets tougher once you get over it. It kind of it's made me more prepared for the rest of the tour. I mean, as long as I don't get totally mute with my voice, I'm fine.
Well, I've heard of stories where certain people were actually wearing gloves when they met fans so that they didn't pick up something from them.
Yeah, but that's
a little more of an extreme.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean,
it doesn't look nice.
No.
I'd feel bad doing that. Like, okay, hold on, I got to put on the glove and then I'm going to shake your hand.
But. Yeah, no, I don't, obviously. My bad. Maybe I should have, but I mean, I think it's kind of... The Chinese medicine says what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So I think once I get over this cold, I'm probably immune for the rest of the tour. You know,
well, that's
I haven't had a cold this year, so I guess I get it at some point. Everybody has a cold at some point every year. So what can you do?
Well, I hope you get better soon, and you're looking sound great. So
I sound wonderful.
Cool. Well, we're going to wrap it up, and we really appreciate you guys joining us on Talking Metal. But one quick question. We've had some fans email in, and they were upset that they canceled an Arch Enemy show at the House of Blues at Disneyland in California. Any thoughts on this? And there's a big backlash now that's going on the Internet, and there's a lot of websites like antimusic.com that are actually boycotting anything Disney-related, like Hollywood Records, for example. Any thoughts, since you guys were kind of involved in this?
It was just, for us, it was just disappointing, you know, because the first show, and then they just moved. I think the disappointing was that thing was that they moved it on such short notice, and they started moving shows out of there within 48 hours or whatever it was. And I don't know. We don't really have too many views about it, I don't think.
That's obviously, they can do whatever they want. They're a big corporation, but I think it's not right to do this. They should have said maybe from next year on, we're not going to book any more bands. But the bands that I booked in now, that was too, for us, it really hit us. I mean, it was just too short notice. And I think that's not fair, for us. Because obviously, I think we lost maybe probably a couple of people because it was really far out, the other venue.
It's like 2 hours away.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think you can, I mean, that's just not right to do. I mean, what... I don't think they made that decision ad hoc, you know. So they must have known for a while, and then just giving us a short note is just not right. I mean, it's a big corporation. What can we say about big corporations? Our album's called Rise of the Tyrant. We have songs like Revolution Begins. We don't like big corporations anyway. So, but it's just like I don't think they should have said maybe okay from a certain time on we're not going to book metal bands anymore. But
Well, hey guys, Angela and Michael, thank you so much for taking the time out. I want to make sure that all of our listeners and viewers go out and buy Rise of the Tyrant. And if you're in Japan, you can get a copy, which I'm going to figure out how to order, that has a bonus track of The Oath by Kiss. And I'm psyched.
Yeah, that's right.
How'd you guys come out with that song?
Obscure Kiss song.
Yeah, it is.
I always liked that album. It came out at a time when I was into Kiss and, you know, in the early 80s, right? 80, 81.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's just a cool heavy metal song that they did on that record, which is kind of the least successful Kiss album, I believe.
Yeah.
But it came out at a time when I was into, you know, when all of us in the band were into Kiss, it was just a song that we always liked.
Well, thank you guys very, very much, and we're going to let you go because I know you guys got to get ready and you're going to go on stage, and we're psyched to see the show.
Yeah, thanks. Enjoy it.
Hey, everybody, this is Michael Amott.
And this is Angela from Arch Enemy.
And you are watching and listening to Talking Metal.
Yeah!
Again by Arch Enemy off of their new album Rise of the Tyrant. Those guys were really cool. We did that interview at the Nokia Theater in New York, which is 1515 Broadway, middle of Times Square. Great new theater. Used to be a movie theater.
Yeah, it did. I remember seeing movies there. Naked Gun 3 I saw there with O.J.
O.J. Simpson, man. I used to love O.J.
Yeah. I liked him as an actor, actually. I don't like him anymore. But let me just say, we've been trying for a while to get Angela on the show, and we are very happy that she finally was able to join us. Michael came back on the show and has been a big supporter of the podcast, and we actually did some shooting with them, too. So we'll let you guys know where you might be able to see the actual interview, or at least portions of it, real soon. And support Arch Enemy, Rise of the Tyrant. Use the link in the show notes to buy I Will Live Again on iTunes.
Yeah, those guys were really, really cool. Angela had a little bit of a cold, and I feel bad because she was worried about giving me germs. She kept saying, you better wash your hands and all that. And I was like, don't worry, I'm not going to catch any germs from you. She was so cool.
And by the way, we do edit these podcasts, and when we're in a loud bar like this, it makes it difficult. So if you hear the song skipping or cutting out in the back, that's because John or myself, probably most likely myself, fucked up and we had to clean something up.
No, I fuck up more than you do. So, and I'm the king of editing, although it's just really difficult when there's music playing in the background. Sometimes I try to edit the songs like in places where it sounds like, you know, it'll work. But then you're like, man, I didn't know that Iron Maiden song, like, you know, went to the solo right after the verse.
Well, we did one, that Heaven and Hell episode, and somebody actually wrote in and saying, it's cool that you have a bar in your city that'll play Iron Maiden, but it really sucks that the DJ faded the song out. And I replied, I said, actually, no, there was a jukebox, and by the way, we faded the song out.
That was considered creative editing on Pro Tools by me, but... So sorry about that. We don't want to alter the classics, you know? It's like when they colorize an old movie or something. It's like the astronomy effect on Iron Maiden.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, Z-Man, the poor guy, his dog actually passed away. I was reading about it on the Talking Metal forums, and that's sad, man. I feel for you. I got a dog. I grew up with dogs, and, you know, I recently got a dog, and I just love those little things, man. They're so amazing. And I just wanted to say that it was a younger dog, and it had an epileptic... How do you say that?
Epileptic seizure.
Epileptic seizure. No, an epileptic attack is what he wrote on the forum. And the poor dog never recovered. And anyways, rest in peace, Daisy the Shepherd.
Z-Man, I'm really sorry to hear about your dog, and let me tell you, when my dog, Fred, passed away,
back when I was in college. My parents didn't even tell me until I finished finals because they knew I was going to go crazy. Because Fred was 18 years old. I had him for pretty much my whole life. And, you know, it was such a big blow to our whole family to lose Fred. So I know how you feel about Daisy. And you know what? We're going to... I don't know if this is appropriate, but just to tribute Daisy, let's do a tribute toast to the memory of Daisy.
Yeah, I mean, the sad thing, too, is it sounds like Daisy was a younger dog. We actually, my family actually lost a four-year-old golden retriever, and it was a heartbreak to cancer, actually. Yeah, so Emily and I got a new little retriever about two months ago at this point. He's a great little guy. We're having a lot of fun with him. What else? Oh, the new Down record is freaking amazing. We're going to be talking with Kirk from Down real soon.
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna do some really interesting stuff with Kirk, and just stay tuned, guys, for all this. We're not going to talk about it just yet, but be patient, and we're going to bring you a lot of cool content in the very near future.
Yeah, I was told, actually, that I cannot talk about it until the end of October. So I'm not talking about it.
Right, we're not talking about anything. We're just talking metal right here at the Circus Bar. They got some freaky stuff hanging, man. And there's a cool picture of this girl with, like, no shirt on and a clown face with, like, a clown nose. See that over there? See that?
Oh, I saw that last night, yeah, when we were in here.
Pretty wild. I wonder who that is, actually. I was trying to figure out if I might know that person or if that's some kind of stock photo that they got somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. Battlestar Galactica, guys, is returning to the Sci-Fi Channel on November 24th. Check it out, Battlestar Razor.
What are you going to do this weekend, Mark?
I got to, like, clean our yard. There's, like, leaves and pine needles all over the freaking place. I bought, like, a blower at Home Depot, so I'm going to just blow them all into my neighbor's yard.
That's great.
And then tomorrow night, I'm going to see Queens of the Stone Age, Madison Square Garden Theater. So psyched for that. It should be fun. And hopefully have a few drinks, let loose a little bit. John and I have been far too busy. So busy that my drinking has been about cut in half, just because I don't have time.
Here's the negative with me. I've been so busy. Mark and I have been equally busy because we've been spending a lot of time working on Talking Metal together. And the problem is that when we get done with that, I need to, unquote, unwind for a little bit, which translates into not just going to one bar. I've been lately going to, like, four different places, eating in four different places, drinking in four different places per night, and I've been spending, like, so much cash, it's unbelievable. I've been, you know, okay on the drinking, but I've been spending so much money that you wouldn't believe it.
No, I believe it. I believe it, for sure.
The other day at lunch, I spent like $100 for lunch, and then I went like to like two or three restaurants after work. And see, for people in other towns, you might think, like, what the hell is going on with that? But the thing is, in New York, like, I was ordering these drinks. I like to drink Grand Marnier now. And, like, the drinks are like $14, $15 each. So you might have three or four drinks, and then you're paying like $60 just for that.
You know what the most expensive cities in the country are? They're like neck and neck.
San Francisco and New York?
Yeah, you got it. You got it. One of the most expensive cities in the world, Tokyo.
Wow, I didn't know that. Isn't that where Alexi from Children of Bodom said there was like this cool like bar that they played Dokken in?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it was called like the Dokken Bar or something, but I think he told us it closed down. Excited to break some news on those guys. Which we're going to break in, I guess, the middle of November.
Yeah, absolutely. We got so much stuff. I mean, the crazy thing is we've been kind of like to the Talking Metal listener, you know, the loyal listeners, you might think that we're kind of slacking off. Let me tell you, we are not. It appears that way, but we're going to make up for it with a lot of cool content coming to you very soon.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of you guys who read the message board, you know who we've been interviewing recently. We're going to bring that to you soon. Nikki Sixx, Dave Mustaine, Surge, Arch Enemy, Throwdown, Nick Oliveri, all going to be coming to you via the Talking Metal platform real soon.
Absolutely. We have some really fun stuff planned, and I just thought I saw something. I'm seeing things at this point. I actually thought I saw something run across this napkin, and I absolutely didn't. In New York City, anything can happen.
I was going to say, at this place, you may have seen something run across a napkin.
I was in this other bar, and there was a piece of popcorn on the bar, and next thing I know, it was not here, let me tell you. Out of nowhere, a decent-sized roach appeared on that piece of popcorn, like out of nowhere. And the bartender felt bad and gave me a free drink just because I witnessed this.
Wow. Well, what do we got coming up here, dude?
Well, we've got Nurgle from Behemoth. That guy is really cool.
He's got a lot to say. Great interview with him. I'm excited to play this for you guys. We had a lot of fun hanging out with him. They put on a great set. This was recorded at Ozfest in New Jersey over the summer. And the new record, it's not even that new anymore, but the latest record is The Apostasy by Behemoth. I recommend you check it out. And we're going to actually end today's show with a track off that record called Inner Sanctum.
You know what's really wild is, speaking of Kiss, they had a well-publicized, if you were a Kiss fan, TV show that aired in Australia. It was called Kiss the Inner Sanctum, something like that. But Inner Sanctum was definitely part of the title of that. And it was a concert they did in Australia, and there was a whole little TV special built around it. So it's pretty cool that they're calling this song Inner Sanctum. And I wonder if that has any Kiss influence.
I don't think so. There's a lot of bands that have a song called Inner Sanctum. I'm not sure what the meaning behind that is. But I actually searched Inner Sanctum on iTunes, and like something like 15 songs came up by 15 different bands. Yeah,
I think it actually means like a place where you feel secure in your inner sanctum. And I remember Ace going, here's the inner sanctum under the stage. Because Kiss actually on the Dynasty and Unmasked tours had a dressing room literally underneath the stage. So like they didn't use the arena's dressing rooms. They had their own, so they built their stage up, and underneath it were actual dressing rooms, and they were calling that the Inner Sanctum. So I just want to say Nurgle was a really cool guy. We had a really good time hanging on the bus with him. He offered us some sodas, and I think they ran out of alcohol.
Cool. Well, let's check out the interview. Let's come back after the interview. Is that cool?
Absolutely. Right here, check out the interview with Nurgle from Behemoth. Hey, it's John from Talking Metal. I'm hanging out on Behemoth's bus with Nurgle and Mark and Emily. How you doing, man?
I'm actually doing great. Busy, but happy.
Your show was unbelievable. This was the first time I had a chance to see you guys live, and I'll tell you the truth, I was completely blown away. I mean, the music is great, but I've always been a fan of the theatrical rock, and you guys, I mean, took it a step further. Even from the first time I saw your photo, I said, these guys look cool, and they got to be great.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for the compliment. I appreciate it a lot. I'm happy there are still people in the U.S. that haven't seen us, because it seems like, I mean, we did like 150 shows just for Demigod for the previous record, and sometimes I feel like, man, I mean, we have to stop, you know, for a while, you know, I mean, we have to fucking, you know, take time off, because, you know, we're gonna tour these people, you know, I mean, we're gonna bore these people to death, you know, we just keep on coming here. But it seems like, you know, like every next tour we end up on is like we pretty much expose ourselves in front of new people. So I'm happy we're actually, you know, playing. I mean, Ozfest is all about, you know, like a mainstream crowd, you know, you can't say of this crowd as a black or death metal crowd, you know. I believe this is, you know, potentially a death metal crowd. But yeah, it's good to see people who haven't seen us, and this is like the first Behemoth experience. So we're definitely, yeah, it's a good place for us.
Well, I'm glad you guys continued on and didn't take a little bit of time off, you know, or else I wouldn't have had a chance to see you, so I'm glad. Wow, we got some stuff coming. Thanks, man.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much.
So, Nurgle, I wanted to tell you, my name on Talking Metal is John Astronomy, but my real last name is Ostrowski, and I'm Polish too. So cool. Nice to see a great band from Poland coming out. I'm not originally from there, but my family is, and it's really cool.
It's definitely a Polish sounding name, yeah. The second name is Darski. So see, you got this ski.
Yeah, I got the ski.
You can't hide it.
Now, the crazy thing, and I'll turn this over to Mark in a few minutes, but I just heard from George that you guys can't play in Poland. Is that true?
No, actually, some politicians apparently, you know, find our message or our music dangerous. I'm not saying it's not, but at the same time saying, well, I mean, this is you know, this is art, right? And we have our right to, you know, to express ourselves, you know, through, you know, different forms of art, you know. So I mean, like, I don't know, man. It's just this weird policy, you know. Poland really wants, you know, is trying its hard to be so like politically correct, you know what I mean? They want to do things their way, you know. But it's more like, I would say, like, there's some fascist, you know, or Nazi, you know, tendencies, I would say, you know. They want to censor everything, man. There's hardly any porn left, you know. There's going to be, like, I mean, no place for nothing left, you know. Just, you know, the only, you know, proper ways of living, you know what I mean. And that's what, you know, Nazis used to do, you know, back in the day. So I'm not happy with it, you know. But that's what some politicians try to do, you know. They try to ban this band, you know. They say that we're like in the top of, you know, top five or something, you know, the most satanic bands, you know, and it's that we have like a bad influence, you know. We should be banned, you know. We shouldn't be playing on radio. We shouldn't be, you know, doing any live performances and stuff, you know. So basically they are trying, you know. They can't do anything yet, you know, since Poland is still a democratic country. But well, I don't know what the future can bring. I'm just not very optimistic about this country, you know, and I already said it like several times. That's why probably today I had some Polish people screaming at me some curses, you know, and stuff. So but fuck it and fuck them, you know. If they live here, you know, they're all like happy guys, you know what I mean, and they know shit about what's happening in my home country, you know what I mean. So they are proud of being Polish, you know, being you know, Americans, to be honest, Polish, you know what I mean. Yeah. Polish Americans, you know what I mean, and living here and having, you know, a good life, you know what I mean. And Poland is not that funny anymore. I mean economically we grow, you know. We're becoming, you know, in general a nicer country, you know what I mean. More money involved, you know, more investments, you know. It looks nice, you know, and everything. But there's always like two sides of the coins, you know, and some of the stuff, I mean, this political course that our government just took is just, I think it's just wrong, you know. It's like it's very regressive. It's just not cool, you know. And yeah, there's this few politicians, you know, that try their best to ban us in Poland and stop us. But man, what can I say, you know? We got like tour schedule in Poland. It's like 9 shows. So far, so good, you know. I think it's happening, you know. But then let's see what happens, you know, when we go back. You know what I mean? So yeah.
When are you guys headed back?
In 2 weeks. Yeah, in 2 weeks. And yeah, so let's see what happens. The Apostles is actually doing great. You know, it's selling great. It's still on the list of the best-selling albums in Poland, and it's been like what, 5 or 6 weeks already. Wow. So for this kind of music, it seems like, you know, we're actually, you know, the best-selling band in Poland, which is good.
That's great, congratulations.
So, yeah, thank you. I mean, well, I didn't ask for that, you know, that's what's happening. And probably, you know, it has like, it's like a double-edged sword, you know what I mean? They're fighting with us, you know, but in the end of the day, you know, we're, you know, we benefit from it. So it's not that bad after all.
Yeah, sometimes if you're the target and you're the one that the government's focusing on, you know you made it because you're that hot.
Yeah, that's what David Vincent from Morbid Angel once said at. And I love this statement. He said, you are no one until someone really hates you. And I think there's lots of truth behind it, you know what I mean? I mean, when you're honest, you know, you're like a public person, you know, you're out there to, you know, to speak out your mind, you know what I mean? I mean, you can try to appeal to everyone, you know what I mean? Just try to satisfy everyone's whatever, I mean, you know what I mean, as an artist or as a politician, you know. But if you're there and you're honest to yourself, you know, you're always gonna have enemies because you're honest to yourself. So yeah, I believe it's a sign of us being just, you know, non-compromising and sincere band, and that's good.
Absolutely.
Now you mentioned the new record, The Apostasy, which has been getting great reviews and received really well. What is the meaning behind that, The Apostasy?
I just had this interview with one of the guys a few weeks ago maybe, and he asked me, and actually it was very surprising, you know, because I've never thought about this title in this way. The Apostasy, he asked me, is it a neology of two words, the ecstasy and the apocalypse? And I kind of like that, you know. I mean, I even asked him, hey, can I steal your, you know, idea? Because it's kind of innovative to me, you know, because I never ever, you know, came up with it, you know. So it's cool. I think it's cool. You know, ecstasy is a very strong word, and the apocalypse, of course, you know, everyone knows what's that, you know, what's the meaning behind it, you know. So I like this kind of, you know, neologies. I like this kind of combinations, you know, because, like, they may become, you know, very innovative and powerful in its meaning. So, yeah, let's say this is one of the interpretations of this title, you know. And the other one is the apostasy. When you look at the dictionary, it's all about rejecting one's religious beliefs. Of course, I'm not saying what religious beliefs, you know, we're referring to. Basically, our attitude towards religion is not friendly attitude, you know. And I think it's just religion is one of the things, you know, that just, you know, totally limits a human being. You know what I mean? Especially these days. I mean, just turn on TV and you'll see that, like, all the crap that's happening there, you know, if it's not, like, natural catastrophes, it's all, like, all wars and everything, you know, it's in most cases, it's all, because of the religion. We just played in Balkans, you know, like, Serbia and Bosnia, if you remember from, you know, news, you know, like, not so far ago, there was this, you know, this religious war there, and I was told that, like, within 2 days there was 8,000 Bosnians exterminated within 2 days when the Dutch soldiers left. You know, the next day it started. You know, and, like, just imagine. You know, it's like Second World War. You know, it's like Nazis. You know, fucking exterminating Jews and Slavs. You know, and, you know, different nations. You know, that they consider, like, you know, something lower, right, with a lower value, whatever. And, you know, religions do exactly the same. They fight over gods, you know, that were invented by man.
And why do you think, you know, something that, you know, you're describing as destructive, why are so many people attracted to it, though?
Because people need to be led by someone, by something, you know. Most people have this. I mean, first of all, people are lazy, you know. People have, like, very weak will. And especially these days, you know, the whole materialistic approach and no values, you know, no discipline and no, I don't know how to say, you know, people just, you know, are raised, you know, on, I mean, what they see on TV, you know what I mean? And they just pretty much, you know, they're just there to follow. They never make up their minds, you know, they never question things, you know, and they're just waiting for the final answers, you know what I mean? And that's easy. That's easy way. So, yeah. And I think this music, the rebelliousness behind this music, the rebelliousness behind this title and the whole philosophy, which is all about, you know, shaking the earth, you know what I mean? And it's like, hey, wake up. This is our, you know, this is our call. It's not about, you know, indoctrinating kids, you know, and just, you know, converting them into evil. Because things like evil that I use on stage, of course, you know, evil and goodness are all, like, you know, false terms, you know, for something that was, I mean, come on, you know, we're just human beings, you know. It's all nature, human nature, you know what I mean? So I'm like, yeah, it's all about, you know, trying to stimulate people's minds, you know, and just make them think about things. Make them think for themselves, make them question things, question laws. Just look further, look wider than they can see, you know what I mean? Just look at these kids today. They just follow, you know what I mean? They never like rebel against things, you know. I remember when I was 14, I just sensed that there was something wrong in the religion, you know what I mean? I was going to have this second, third sacrament, which I don't know what it's called in English, and I just made up my mind last minute. I was like, no, I don't want to be part of this. And the apostasy is actually a state of, you know, just signing out of the church, you know what I mean? That's what I pretty much did. I never did it, you know, formally, but that's what you have to do, you know, if you just don't want to be a part of this institution. So yeah, it's a very rebellious, but I think that's a deep intellectual background for this title. It's not just about striking your enemy. It's about you know, waking up the consciousness. So
I bet that was confirmation. Were you originally Catholic? Was your family Catholic?
Yes. I mean, all the Polish people are Catholics, yeah. You know. They have no other option, you know what I mean? That's what is wrong about this world, you know. You have no options. If you have options, if you choose to take option, you are immediately become a at least a weirdo, a freak, an enemy, you know what I mean? You don't want to be an enemy in a country of, you know, that like 99%, that's what statistics say, you know, believe in God. It's like, it's, you know, you don't want to be outside, but you have to be, you know, if you think for yourself, of course. So
I'm a big David Bowie fan. I got Hello Space Boy off the Outside record.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, we do these experiments here and there, you know. We cover David Bowie. That was the most controversial cover song we've done ever. I mean, this band, you know what I mean? It's like, we did Nine Inch Nails, and this one turned out really well, and I'm really happy with it, you know. Actually, I was just talking to one guy, and he's like, how about some Johnny Cash cover songs, you know? Like, well, I'm a huge Johnny Cash fan, but I can't imagine doing Johnny Cash cover song. But maybe I'm just, you know, I have to just grow up to this, you know what I mean? So you never know what the future brings, right?
Like, what music did you grow up listening to?
When I was a kid, you know, pretty much like anything that was coming from the Western world was attractive to me, you know what I mean? Because we had the censorship, you know. We had all these Polish artists, and of course it was like, it was all crap, as you can imagine. And we just been, you know, told what to listen to, you know. And occasionally, you know, some radios, you know. We had this radio called Wolna Europa, which in Polish is Free Europe, you know. It was like, it was censored, you know, but some on some you could actually listen to this programs on the radio, you know, and they're like playing all kinds of shit, you know. And yeah, like, man, I was like, when I was a kid, I was like seven, I remember, six or seven, I started, you know, being like interested in music, like in general. So it was pretty much anything from disco to, you know, to like heavy music. So I had these tapes, you know, and I had Iron Maiden, and then it was Samantha Fox, you know what I mean? So pretty much anything. And then, you know, I just got more and more attracted by heavier stuff, you know. So after a while, I just, you know, I was not into like anything that's softer than rock music, you know. So it was hard rock and heavy metal and all the, you know. And when, you know, the older I was, you know, the more, you know, extreme music I was into. So I was kind of, you know, it was developing, it was growing on me. But then, you know, I mean, nowadays I'm so open-minded, you know. I just got, like, yesterday I was downtown New York. I went to this Generation store. I love this store. I got new Deathspool Omega, which is like a black metal from France. Then I got Morphine, which is not a black metal band, as just alternative, avant-garde-ish, whatever. And then I got Ulver, which is, you know, the also avant-garde music. And then I got some other crazy shit. So I pretty much anything, you know. I'm even like getting into some, you know, country music lately, and, you know, rockabilly stuff, and, you know, pretty much anything that's good, you know. And that's, you know, I just divide music into either good or bad, you know.
Sure.
So I, yeah.
Looking at this, we do something that's called the Talking Metal Toast. I don't actually know if it's going to make a sound with these cans and cups, but
I try to make a sound.
Yeah, let's do a toast.
I can drink like a pig, you know, so it's like...
Cool, here's it. Cool, let's try to make a sound here with this.
Cool.
Now, here's the craziest thing. Check out this cup, guys. It's a Behemoth shot glass. Yeah. Isn't that insane? It's like...
You know what? I already tested it. I had Hatebreed shot glasses, and I had Behemoth shot glasses, and I can tell you that Jager from Behemoth shot glasses tastes better. I'm kidding.
Can people buy these shot glasses?
No, it's a giveaway.
No. This is great. I was going to say, where can Talking Metal get some Behemoth shot glasses? And we'll do it.
I think that's
We'll do
awesome.
All our toast from that, you know, those type of glasses.
Yeah. Jager might taste metal, you know, but look at this logo. I think it should be like this, you know.
Oh, right. It's got the...
Yeah, so...
For all you Jägermeister people, you know that this is a cross on it, but Nurgle turned the glass upside down. So, so anyway, back to the band. Now, did you record the Promethean video yet, or are you going to record
it's,
it?
It's filmed, and it's being mixed right now, and it should be ready by the end of this month.
Where did you guys do it? Was it a live setting?
No, it was done in L.A., with a guy called Darren Soren, and he's known for like doing videos for he did like 300 videos, man. He's like an experienced guy, you know. He did Caius, Asali Dying, and fucking millions of other bands. So, yeah, it's it was a good experience. It was a good experience. You'll see. I don't want to, you know, ruin the surprise, you know. Just be surprised, man. I think it's going to be, it's just going to look big. It's going to look crazy, very intense. The song is intense, just 3 minutes long, but it's fast, you know, it's still catchy. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a great song.
Very cool. We're looking forward to that. So then after Ozfest, you said you're going back to Poland for a little while. And
3 days.
Is that when the Radio Rebellion tour starts back up?
No, we still got like, you know, 80 or 100 shows, you know, this year. So, it's one of the things, you know, we're touring Poland, headlining right after this tour. Then we got another 3 days off.
Yes.
And then we go to Europe and we do headlining in Europe. And then we got another 3 days off.
Yes.
I'm kidding, you know, that's how I always schedule these tours, you know, I'm stupid, but we should probably, you know, take some more time off, you know, but this means, you know, that I like to keep it intense, you know, and then take like 2 months off, you know, no band activities, which is good, you know, to recharge batteries. So we're basically doing Poland, Europe, US, then Australia, New Zealand, and it's already Xmas.
And then maybe back into the studio again after that.
Come on, man! You want to kill me, right? January is off. I'm actually thinking, you know, scheduling some vacation right now. Thinking about, you know, where should I go, and just have some rest. And then we're touring South America and Mexico in February. Wow. And then eventually coming back to US in the spring. So we'll be doing. It's already confirmed. We'll be doing 3 US tours for this record. So it's. It's going to be more than 100 shows altogether, just US. Yeah, this market is still fresh for us, you know. We want to work as hard as we can. For some European bands, it's pretty hard to come here, you know, because, you know, when they get van and they're told to, you know, to tour US in a van for 5 weeks, you know, hardly any European band want to do this, you know. So... yeah, I think it's a market that you have to really work hard, you know, you have to sacrifice a lot. You have to really devote yourself, you know, here. And I can tell you that it's really worth, you know, it's paying off, you know, we got fucking diehards here, you know. I don't know any other continent that we got fans that are like, that have like behemoth tattoos. And we just started a section on MySpace, you know, that just, you know, like lots of, you know, people just sending their behemoth tattoos, you know. We got fucking 80% of fans, you know, our eagles on, or not just eagles, behemoth logo and everything. It's US people, and we've been newcomer for like 3-4 years now. We are a new band here, right? We've been around for like 15-16 years, but we are a new coming band here. You know, we are a fresh band, so it's awesome. I'm stoked. I think it's great. You know, it means that these people are devoted to this music. You know what I mean? And it's like, man, I just want to fucking, you know, serve my people. You know what I mean? So I definitely want to come back here and you know, and play, you know, these tours and fucking have a good time. And yeah, that's why we do like 2 signings a day. And I think it's worth. You know, today I saw this chick. You know, she had the whole Demigod, which is our previous record, the whole Demigod cover tattooed on her back, and she's actually considering having now our signatures tattooed on her body. Oh, and man, this you can't think of a bigger
honor.
I respect that a lot.
Very cool. Well, Nurgle, man, we are just really psyched that you took out some time to hang with us after the show, which was unbelievable. And you know, we will definitely catch you on these the extended U.S. tours that awesome. Are coming up for sure. And thanks again for hanging out with us, man.
Yeah, man, more than welcome. You know, come back next time we do a longer one. I promise we're going to have some beers then. I'm sorry, you know, we just ran out of them. You know, if we have beers on the bus, we do have beers every day. And 2 bottles of Jager, you know, we run out within 2 hours, it's all gone, man. And yeah. Then we have to go around and search around, you know, on other men's buses, so.
No problem, I've had so much beer today, it's actually good. I'm drinking a Dr. Pepper courtesy of Behemoth and Nurgle, so thank you.
Thanks a lot, we appreciate it.
Thank you. Hey, what's up, folks? This is Nurgle from Behemoth speaking. Yeah, you're listening to Talking Metal. Stay evil, stay metal. See you in the fall. Cheers. We'll be right back.
what you just heard was Inner Sanctum by Behemoth. Go support these guys. Great death black metal. I don't know. First they were saying they were black metal. Now it appears that he's calling it death metal. Whatever it is. I hate categories. You guys know that. I hate categories. Behemoth rocks. Download Inner Sanctum. Download the whole album, The Apostasy is the album, off of iTunes. I want to end today's show with one of my favorite Accept tunes. Is that cool?
I like Accept, man. I saw them 1984. I remember the date, March 4th, 1984, Stanley Theater in Pittsburgh, PA. Thank you, Wiz, for the beer. They opened up for Kiss on the Lick It Up tour.
Very cool. We got Ozzy on the jukebox right now covering Joe Walsh.
Great tune, man. Great Ozzy cover.
Definitely. This is Breaker by Accept. Came out back in 1981 before most of you little guys were born. So long before a lot of you kids were born. Anyways, I was alive. I actually didn't discover Accept until Balls to the Wall, but I went back then and discovered Breaker.
Right, yeah. That's the Balls to the Wall album is when I got into Accept as well. And to me, that was such a fun time for metal. And I really feel, like, at that point, like, I was rooting for every metal band really to get known because, like, it was sort of like an underground thing. And I know now we like it to be underground, but back then I kept, you know, hoping that metal was going to really take off. And it sure did. And, you know, we are diehard metal fans who've been there, you know, for many, many years.
Absolutely. And by the way, Martin Popoff calls Balls to the Wall one of the best albums ever made. So that's a pretty heavy statement. Cheers to the guys in Accept. Cool.
You know what's funny is that my parents actually took me to the Accept and Kiss show. And they always would, for years to come, refer to that guy in the camouflage outfit. Like, In conversation, it would come up and say, "Yeah, you remember that guy in the camouflage outfit?" And, you know, they were, of course, referring to Udo.
And you know what's interesting? If you take how he looked back in the early to mid-80s and brought him into contemporary 2007, his fashion sense back then, which was a little odd, is now, you know, he's a little heavier and he's got the camo and the buzz cut. He'd fit right in with your average warp band.
Yeah, absolutely. He what do they call that? He had a vision of the future, you know?
I was trying to say Warp Tour band. I'm a couple beers in here at the Circus Bar, and I'm done. I'm done. I got to go.
I think I'm going to stick around.
There's one of the bartenders here. That's her. I guess that's a thong hanging out. And she's got her tattoo right above that. Some people call that a tramp stamp. What do you call it?
I love that term. I forget where I recently heard of that, but tramp stamp is like the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And but I like it. I like it, of course, you know.
You think girls with a tramp stamp are easy?
No.
No truth to that rumor?
No. I mean, if you're rich and famous, probably easy. But, you know, I wanted to ask Nikki Sixx this. I have a feeling that the normal groupies are actually playing hard to get now, because now they want to be taken seriously, like they could be like a wife or something like that. Whereas like back in the 80s, I think groupies just wanted to hook up with the rock stars. But now I think they still do, but they play hard to get for like a day or two, and then they think that, you know, if they do that, they're going to end up marrying, like, you know, Bret Michaels or Nikki Sixx. I actually do think that.
I don't think that. I think they're just as easy as ever. Yeah.
The only reason I say that is because I know, and you know, I've not from personal experience, but I've witnessed like girls who know a lot of bands, but they're trying to pretend like they are, you know, high class, and they're not easy.
Yeah, and I know some of those girls, and I also know what's gone down, and what they say and what they did are usually two different stories.
Got it, and I do believe that too. So thank you for setting the record straight. I forgot to ask Nikki about that.
I'm not going to mention any names, but actually, some names that some of you people might recognize out there. That's enough said. Let's get out of here. Let's listen to some Accept. This is Breaker, 1981.
except.